Okay, so today we're going to reverse things. Usually you hear this the second or third time I give it. This time you're hearing it the first time, and this will be the Mr. Sam, the Shabbat Shuvah address that I'm going to give in shul. So I can't tape it in shul, so I figured you can hear it 2 days before. And I want to focus on a part of the Yom Kippur service that very few people attend. It's the, I don't know why, I guess people are tired by 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. It's hard to stay in shul so long. And it's about describing the avoda of the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. So I want to talk about two parts of that avoda. And if you look at sources 1, 2, and 3, it talks about the two goats. And we're told that in front of the entire Jewish people who could fit into the Azara, to the court of the Beis HaMikdash, he takes two he-goats for a Korban Chatas, stands them before Hashem in the Ol Moed. He draws, Aaron or whoever the coin is, draws lots, and they're put in a box, and one, when they pull out the lots, one says La Hashem, and one says La Azazel. And the one that says for Hashem, that's going to be brought close, and that is going to be slaughtered, and its blood is going to be sprinkled inside the Heichal, temple area of the Beis HaMikdash. And the second one gets sent, La'azazel, being sent to the cliff, thrown off the cliff in the wilderness. This was the famous lottery. And that's what Rashi explains in the second source over there, which I already spoke out. Now, it's very interesting, the Mishnah in Yoma, I'm missing an A over there, missing a few A's over there, says that these two goats must be identical in every way, shape, or form. They have to look the same, they have the same height, cost the same money to buy in the store, you bought them at the same time. These two goats are absolutely identical. And the question is, why do they have to be identical? What's the point of being identical? Okay, that's the first issue. Okay, second issue is, okay, now what happens with this goat that's going to Hashem? In addition, there was a bull as well that was slaughtered before that was for the Kohen's personal atonement. Kohen took a bull, did vidui for himself, and for the Kohanim, he did a vidui there, and blood was taken into the Heichal. And now this second, this goat that's going to be going to Hashem, that was done for atonement for the entire Jewish people. And the blood of that animal is also brought into the Heichal. And then there is a very elaborate amount of sprinklings of blood that happen. I'm not going to give you all the details of that, but there are a number of sprinklings that are done. One set of sprinklings is done entering the holiest of holies and towards the Aron and in between the two poles. There would be a sprinkling. There was another sprinkling that was done not that far in, but in the regular Heichal, sprinkling towards the Parochas, the curtain that separated the Kachi Kadosh and the rest of the Beis HaMikdash. And it was a very unique type of sprinkling that wasn't done a whole year long, and that's in source number 4. The Gemara in Yoma discusses this. So what would he do? He would take the blood that was in the utensil, he would take one of his fingers, and stick his finger in the blood, and he would flick it like that, once up, achas lamala, go back in, and then flick 7 times lamata, below. Once up, 7 times down. Okay? So the question is, why? And more than that, there was a counting done, And if you're in shul, that is one of the parts that you hear about, where the chazan counts it as the kohen did, kohen gadol did, and the congregation says it as well. And the counting would be like this, and he would verbalize it. He would say, achas, that's one. Then he'd say, achas va'achas, one and one. Achas u'shtaim, one and two, one and three, four, five, six, seven. So the question is, why is he doing that? Just say one up, and then say one, achas, shtayim, shalosh. Why is he saying it after the achas going up? Then he says, on the one going down, he says, achas v'achas, one and one. Obviously referring to the fact that he did one up and one down. So the question is, why does he have to do that? So the standard commentary says, so he doesn't get confused. Which is a difficult answer. I mean, the idea being, well, he did one. If he counts that as one, he may mistakenly, when he does the first one going down, he might count it as two. And then he'll only end up with maybe six going down. So by saying, achas v'achas, one up and one down, and he keeps saying the achas, he won't get confused with the count. Okay, that's what the commentaries say. I'm not going to argue with it. I would hope that the Kohen Gadol was clever enough to be able to count to eight. It's not like there's a lot of numbers over there. So one up and seven down. So there's ways he could have done that without having to repeat himself. So what's the message of all the repetition in the counting of that? Okay, that's the main thing we're going to discuss today. And again, there's a lot of discussion. I mean, in the Musaf, it's very clearly articulated all of that which happens amongst many, many other things. And at least in Shul, you know, there's only two real highlights during that long period of time in Musaf. It's where everybody prostrates themselves down on the ground like they did in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. And the singing out of Achas, Achas, Va'achas, etc. That was another highlight. I don't imagine many women are in Shul for Musaf. For that, there's not a lot of men in Musaf for that, depending on the shul you go to. But anyway, obviously, this was a critical for the kapara of the Jewish people in the Beis HaMikdash. So what's the message of that for us? That's what we're going to talk about today. So to begin to answer this, let's take a look at two Gemaras, both in Maseches Kiddushin, sources 5 and 6, that seem to contradict themselves. They're famous Gemaras, you're all aware of them. One Gemara says, Hashem said to the Jewish people, Banai, my children, Barasi Yetzirah, Barasi lo Torah Tavlin. I've created Yetzirah, and I've created a Torah that is the Tavlin for the Yetzirah. Many ways of translating that word Tavlin. We could simply say the antidote towards that, the way you can fight against the Yetzirah. That's a simple meaning. Vimetem oskim b'Torah, and if you engross yourself in the study of the Torah, einatam nimsarim biyado, you will not be given over into its hands. So Hashem is clearly saying that you have a Yetzirah, which is really not, it's a formidable foe, and I've got a way for you not to lose. Engross yourself in the study of Torah. So from that Gemara, part of the Gemara, it seems very clear that a Jew does not need any divine assistance in taking care of the Yetzirah. Hashem says, here, you got the Torah, learn the Torah, and that's all you have to worry about. And once you learn the Torah, you're going to be fine. However, the Gemara goes on, a little bit later on, in source 6, and says, Yisha shalara misgaber alof, the Yetzirah of a person threatens to overwhelm him. B'choyim every day, umavake shamiso wants to kill him, and he brings the pasuk to support that. And if Hashem wouldn't help him, he would not be able to defeat him. And he brings the pasuk to support that idea as well. So from that Gemara, it seems very clear that we only can succeed with Hashem's help. So what is it? Is it, can we handle it on our own, or can we not handle it on our own? The Gemara says, Hashem says, I gave you a Torah as a tavlin, I give you a Torah as an antidote, and if you have that, you're not going to lose. So it clearly means you don't need any siyata d'shmaya. You don't need any divine assistance. Just learn the Torah that Hashem gives you, and that will be enough. But then the Gemara turns around and says, well, no, the Yetzer is like so hard that there's no way. Now, obviously Hashem already gave us the Torah, and there must be people studying the Torah. So it seems that studying the Torah is not enough, because it says if it wouldn't be for Hashem helping, you would lose. So what is it? Can man handle it on his own, or can he not handle it on his own? So to understand this idea, let us go back to first man, and let's talk about the effects of his sin, to better appreciate that, and that will answer with a contradiction there, and then we'll move on to the avoda that's in the Beis HaMikdash. So we know, after the snake seduces Adam and Chava to eat from the forbidden fruit, what does Hashem say to the snake? Source number 7. Vayomer Hashem Elokim al Anochesh, Hashem says to the snake, Ki asisa zos, because you did this to seduce Adam and Chava, or atah mikol habehema, mikol chayas hasada, you are cursed, more cursed from all the animals in the field. Al gagoncha telech, you will go on your belly, va'ofer tochel, you will eat sand, kol yimecheyech, dirt, kol yimecheyech, all the days of your life. Okay, so the snake gets punished. Orato. Okay, explains Rashi in source 8. What does this mean? Why does it say you're going to go on your belly? Of course, we know that snakes go on their belly. Why does Hashem tell him to go on his belly? Obviously, there was something else going on before he had sinned or was cursed. Rashi al gichon chatelech said, Raglayim hayolo. The snake had legs. V'niskatzes, when Hashem cut him off. And now he's telling me you're going to go on your belly. That's why he's saying you're going to go on your belly. So, obviously, we have to understand what this means. There's a number of questions we have to ask. The Pirkei Rabbi Elazar says that we know that the snake really was the Yetzirah incarnate, who was dressed up like a snake to cause Adam and Chava to sin. So we got to understand, number one, what's the idea of cutting off his legs? Number one. And more than that, and this is always the question everybody asks when they hear this story, but that's the Yetzirah's job, isn't it? The Yetzirah's job. He works, he's on God's payroll. And his job was to seduce Adam and Chava. That was his job. So what are you going to say? Well, you know, I didn't really want you to win. What do you mean? You tell him his job is to win. His job is to seduce Adam and Chava. So he did exactly what he was told. I understand why you're going to punish Adam and Chava. That makes a lot of sense. But why do you got to punish the snake, a.k.a. the Yetzirah? He was doing his job. That's a question that gets asked all the time. Some suggest, well, he did his job too good, which is not a good answer. Because when he did his job too good, you're supposed to do the job the best you can, even if you work for the side of evil. But if that's the side Hashem puts you on, and that's what Hashem tells you, you do as best as you can. So what did the snake or Yetzirah do that was so bad that he should be cursed? It's interesting, if you look carefully, it doesn't say he got punished. It just says, Orurato, you are cursed. So what does all this mean? So to understand this, there's a famous Gemara that you all know, in source number 9, the golden rule, Kol HaGodol Mechavero, anyone who is greater than his fellow Jew, Yitzro Godol Hemenu, he has a greater Yetzer than the other Jew. And the simple meaning is, people think, well, this guy's a big tzaddik. It's easy for him to serve Hashem. And you should know that that's not true. That someone who's greater than another person, you should know that he has a bigger yetzer. And we understand it to mean yetzer hara. He has a bigger yetzer hara. It's interesting, though, the Gemara does not mention the word yetzer hara. You figured it would have said yetzer hara, like it has said in other Gemaras, such as... a Gemara in Source 5, the Yetzirah. I created Yetzirah. So it's interesting. So, but to know that a Jew, if you see a Jew, there's a great Jew, you should know he has a really big Yetzirah. The Chafetz Chaim had a bigger Yetzirah than any one of us. any Adam Gadol has a bigger Yetzer than anyone's. Question is why? Well, source number 10 answers that. Because we learned in last week's Parsha, Hashem gave us life and death, good and evil. And Hashem asks us to choose life, to choose good. Well, the only way you could have a real free will choice is if you have within yourself a Yetzer Hara and a Yetzer Tov that are equal with each other. If your Yetzer Tov is much stronger than your Yetzer Hara, there isn't much of a choice. You're going to listen to the Yetzer Tov. If your Yetzer Hara is greater than the Yetzer, Ra is greater than the Yetzer Tov, you're going to have to sin. If Hashem is saying you have a free will choice, the playing field must be equal. So if the playing field must be equal, that means, therefore, if a person is really great, he's a big tzaddik, don't think he was born a tzaddik like that. He was born with a big Yetzer Tov. Maybe he was, but he was born with an equally big Yetzer Hara, and therefore the free will choice is an equal choice. With this, we can explain a famous Gemara in source number 11. We've heard this Gemara many times. In the future, Hashem is going to take the Yetzer Hara and slaughter him before the righteous and before the wicked. To the righteous, they will appear like a large mountain, and to the wicked, it will appear like a small little thread. They're each going to be crying. The tzaddik is going to cry a cry of, so to speak, happiness of, oh, how were we able to defeat such a big, big mountain? And the rush is going to cry, how are we not able to destroy such a little thread? And the obvious question is, well, what is it? Is it big or is it small? The answer is, it depends exactly what the person is. If he's a big tzaddik, that means he's done a lot of good things. That means he had a big Yetzer Hara. And he sees he had a huge, huge Yetzer Hara. That's why Nidmalem, it appears to them like a big mountain. But the wicked person, who really is not much of a spiritual person at all, and keeps falling down and down and doing all these Averos, and, well, if he did that many Averos, he must not have had he did not have such a big Yetzer Tov, he must not have had such a big Yetzer Hara, so he doesn't, wasn't really a big mountain. Okay. So now, with this idea, now we're going to, this stuff we may have all heard. That's fine, I'm just going to go ahead. It's not a major point, I just got to go ahead, because there's a lot to talk about, just let it go. Anyway, so, but now we have to get to the real meat and potatoes of what's going on over here. And it's a very, very important statement of the Tzidkas HaTzadik Rav Tzadik HaKohen. And this is really the core of the class over here, where he defines a human being. He says, Ikar Ha'adam, source 12, and I gave you a bit of, I gave you a good amount of English on that one too. Ikar Ha'adam, the main part of a human being, what makes a human being? Hu ha-cheshek shebelev. It's the cheshek, the yearnings that he has in his heart. Shebohu yisrono machem, that makes him greater than an angel. Vahu ha-cheshek, and this cheshek, this yearning, Hanikra is called Yetzer Tov and Yetzer Ra. It's called the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Ra. Ki kasher hu magbir cheshko latov, if he overpowers his yearnings for the good, harei zeh tov, then that is the Yetzer Tov, as it were. V'im lav, and if not, the opposite, harei zeh ra, that's bad. Now, Rav Tzadok is saying a very, very interesting idea over here. He is defining the uniqueness of the human being, is causing his cheshek. And his cheshek is really the definition of the word yetzer. Yetzer, wanting. So when he uses the word yetzer, it's incorporating the desires that are all the desires that's in a person's heart. But that desire can be split to go in any direction. It could be split to go to the right. It could be split to go to the left. The yearning is parv. That's how he's defining it. A human being yearns. He has a cheshek. Angels don't have that. That's not part of their beings. animals really don't have it the same way either. The definition, what makes a human human, is the fact that he has a Yetzer. Even when he was created, it says, Vayitzer Hashem es Adam, which is an unusual word. There are many other words Hashem could have used. But Vayitzer means he created a being who has a Yetzer, who has drives and yearnings and wants. And just to skip to source 13 just for a minute, that's what Shlomo says in Koheles. Chacham liyamino, but the chacham, his heart goes to the right, v'lev k'sil is smaller, but the fool, he lets his heart go to the left. But Rav Tzadok is defining a human being as a being who has a yetzer, who he has wanting. Okay, let's continue what he says. For Amruzal, and now he explains Chazal like this. Kal ha-godel, ha-godel mechavero, someone who's greater than his friend. What does it mean, greater? So normally you think greater means he's a bigger tzaddik. No, that's not what it means. He's saying the definition of being greater is yitzra godel hamena. He has a bigger yetzer. Not by definition of yetzer hara, a bigger yetzer, a bigger wanting, bigger drive. If you see someone who's better than other people, it's because Hashem implanted him a yetzer, a parv, neutral yetzer, that wants to thrive, grow, be ambitious, has a lot of wantings. That's parv. Ki gadlus echad al chavero, the greatness. How do you say someone's better than somebody else? Hurak if he godl hacheshek shelo letov. It's only based on that desire to do good. The hainu koch hayetzer, which is the power of wanting. Now, says Rav Tzadok, you understand what he's saying? He's saying, if you're going to see a Jew who's a bigger Jew than another Jew, you should know there's a reason for it. I put in him a bigger Yetzer than the other guy. Not all Yetzers are created equal. Not all people are created with the same Yetzers. There are those with real big ambitions. And there are those that Hashem didn't give them big ambitions. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's why Hashem made you. I don't know, maybe you could daven to have more ambition, I don't know. But Hashem says, listen, there's tall people, there's short people, can't do anything about it. No, there's attractive people, not attractive people, you can't do anything about it. Certain things you can't do anything about it. People with better vision, people who don't have good vision, can't do anything about it. So, you know, people have bigger neshamas than other people. But the real part that makes it where we can really feel, neshama is also kind of a nebulous term that's hard for us to understand what it means. But a Yetzer, we know what a Yetzer is. It's a drive, ambition. Hashem creates people with bigger ambitions than others. So if you see there's a great person out there, really, he accomplishes a lot. He's a Masman, he's a big Talmud Chacham, etc., etc. It's because he has big ambitions. Kol ha-godol mechavero. It doesn't say Yetzer hara godol mimenu. It says Yitzro godol mimenu. He has a bigger Yetzer. That's the only word we have. Now, of course, there'll be more to that. But, you know, what will happen as now Rav Tzadok continues? Ki Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Ra Echad. Again, the Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Ra, they come from the same place. And here's the critical line. Ze le'uma ze, each one opposed to the other. Bishnei chalalei alev, in the two ventricles of the heart. The desirings of the heart, when it's coming from the right side, that'll be desirings for good. So it is, the left side has desirings for the evil. And therefore he must also have a very big Yetzer Hara. So you hear what Rav Tzadok is revealing to us here. The way we've been learning this Gemara until now, we've always been saying, well, if you see a big guy, you should have known he had a big Yetzer Hara. And that's it. And don't, because there had to be equal free choice, which is true. We're not negating that pshat. But we're going much deeper to understand what the real meaning of the pshat is. If you see that a person has become great, it's because he has a big Yetzer. That's all it says. Yitzro Godol Haymenu. He has a bigger innate drive. Now we can then take it a step further. Well, obviously, if he's a big tzaddik, he's taking that drive in the right direction. He's taking that drive in the right direction. But he equally could have taken that great drive in the other direction. It easily could have gone the other way. By going to the right, he took the drive in the right direction. That means he's the biggest tzaddik around, he could have been the biggest Russia, possibly. And there has to be a struggle for that to happen. Don't think, you know, we'll see in a minute, it's not just, well, I got this neutron, I'm just always going to decide to go this way. No, there's a big battle where the drive's going to go. Is the drive going to go in the good? There's all that drive. There's a lot of drive there. Where's it going to go? Well, I'm going to learn. Yeah, but I like, there's a big drive for everything. Man is unlimited drives. And for him to channel all that drive in one direction is a very difficult task. You see a person who's just, I hate to use the term, you know, just we'll call like a regular Jew. Hey, he can't learn that much. He can't this. It just doesn't have the head for it. Whatever you want to say. You know, there are people in life who are not what we call ambitious.
Good enough, Jews.
What?
Good enough.
Oh, I don't, whatever. But you can't fault them necessarily. Now, you have to know, is it because they're lazy or not? That's a very not easy thing to know. Now, teachers always like to say the kid's not producing because he's lazy. And that's not a good way of defining people. It could be Hashem just didn't give it to him. And he's never meant, he's not in the cards to have this great ambition. You know what? He just do what you're told. He's a very obedient person. You need people in life who don't have big ambitions, and they just do what has to be done. And that's all Hashem expects from him. That's all Hashem expects from him. So, you know, he doesn't come up with new ideas. He says, whoa, I want to change the whole world. I want to this. Not everybody has that. You know, everyone just to be the best Jew I can be. And he has limited potentials. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as he just uses that for the good. Now, it's an interesting situation. So what comes out is, by definition, the biggest Russia in the world, Ace of a Russia, or the Kabbalists say, Yoshka, had big Yetzers. Big Yetzers. And they could have been Gedolei Hador. They had the potential to be a Gedolei Hador. However, they listened to the left side. They took it to the left side. They took it to the wrong way. But don't think they couldn't have been great people. So this becomes the big Yesod that he says. And now he just complements this with another statement. And this is really important. 14. Now we got to take this a step further now. It's very interesting now. He says, "Kol echad yodeh." Everyone knows. He says, "Dover Parshat." Everybody knows. I guess people like him know. Shebameh sheyitzro tokfo beyoser. In the area where the Yetzirah pulls you the most, you need to say for sin. You got a big Yetzirah for whatever avera you have a big Yetzirah for. Okay, whatever it is. Okay? What is that really? Now, of course, that's not good. Of course, that's not good. But we tend to say, oh, this is terrible. Just get rid of it. You got to totally stop this behavior. You got to realize there's much more to this. He says, Hu kli muchan la'osim dvarim biyoser lios nikim v'zachim etzlo. He really, in that bad state, is a prepared utensil for things that can be the cleanest and most meritorious for this person. Ubedvarim shaharbe leif shobahem. In areas where he sins a lot, yoda, you should know, shehu kli muchan lios daika b'osadar v'nag b'alav. And in that area specifically, he can be the most amazing, clean, and purified of all. In other words, what he's saying is, if you've got a very strong now yetzer hara, because the Yetzer has gone in the bad direction, you have to know that that's a piece of information is telling you that there's a lot of greatness over here that just hasn't been reached yet.
Would you say your greatest weakness is your greatest strength?
Well, you could call that, but, you know, but I don't like to use that term because it's not really a weakness. You're doing this wrong, but I wouldn't call it weak. It's a big yetzer's getting you to this. You know, okay, the way you mean it, I know the way you mean it. So I won't disagree with it, but I just don't, I don't like those words. It's just, but your greatest area of failure is proof positive that you're eminently capable and all ready for the greatest aspect of success. Maybe let's put it that way. Because it's not your weakness, it's your strength that's going in the wrong direction. So let's say your greatest, the most humongous, disgusting failure behavior you could do is testimony to the fact that you've got the potential for the most amazing behavior because you've got such cheshek in this area. Okay? And therefore, when you say, you see other people who are sinning a little bit, you know, and they really just can't, they can't just be that bad. It's because they don't have such a big cheshek. You know, you have, you know, you have in school, you had in school, there's certain kids, you know, everybody to some degree or not misbehaves a little bit in school. I mean, maybe it's perfect people, but you know. But you have some people who, like, they don't care. They nothing, no holds barred. They're going to make the teacher's life miserable. They got the most ingenious, clever ways to make the teacher, you know, break up the whole class. And it's like, and the other guy just, you know, shoots a spitball. Never get past the spitball. You know, that big, big, big cheshek. You know, he doesn't want to turn the whole class upside down. He just wants to have a little fun. Okay, so you should know, and this is important, a teacher needs to know, the worst kids in class could be the future Gedolei Ador. Because why did Hashem give him all that cheshek for? Just to be mean and spirited and bad? No. It just got to be channeled in the right direction. Now this becomes the Pashut Pshat in the Pasuk in Koheles. Where, very interesting pasuk, that we look at it, and it, if you really look at it, it doesn't seem to make any sense. Shlomo Melech says, "Biyom tava," on a good day, "Hayu betov," things are good. Okay, on a good day, things are good. "Well, biyom ra," on a bad day, that means you've done averus. I mean, I guess good day you did mitzvahs, whatever. On a bad day, now the next line should have said, "Hayu ra." It was bad, right? That's, that would be exactly the same. But he doesn't say that. Re'eh, you should see. Gam, and here's the important line again, as zeh l'umazeh asa Elokim. Hashem made this parallel to that. Now, of course, we've heard that idea many times. Zeh l'umazeh bor Elokim. We've mentioned this many, many times. We basically say one of God's laws of spiritual physics, for every positive reaction, there's an equal and opposite negative reaction. In other words, if you find big tzaddikim in the world like Avram, there has to be a big Russia like Nimrod. You have a big tzaddik like Yaakov, there's a big tzaddik Russia like Esau. Zel and Seth. You have to balance it that way. And that is true in a cosmic, in a global sense, in a macro sense. That's true. But what Shlomo was talking about in a micro sense. Zel Mazeb Elohim. Hashem says there's cheshek. A person has cheshek. And Hashem has created a person that zeh u'mazeh, this one can take the cheshek all the way, and that one can take the cheshek, and that yetzer can take the cheshek this way, that yetzer can take it that way. So what Shlomo is saying like this, you got all this yetzer. So on a Yom Tova, on a good day, a day when you took the yetzer tov, took all that energy and put it in a place, your matzliach, in Avodas Hashem, so then that is what a Yom Tov, it was good. That's good. You know, you gave it all you wanted. It's certainly a good thing. You served Hashem properly. You took all the wantings and derived it in a good place. But it'll be Yom Ra'ah on a bad day. What does that mean? Where the Yetzer Hara was stronger and took everything and, you know, made you not see things clearly and you weren't able to overcome it. Now you might say, oh, what a Russia I am. So he doesn't say it's just bad. He says you're supposed to learn something from that. He says, Ra'eh, you should see, Gam eseh, l'umazeh aselikim. Hashem has done this parallel to this. You should see with the eye of your wisdom that just like you saw how terrible you were, zeh l'umazeh, you could do the same power and the same force and tenacity to do something good. That's how you have to look at yourself after you've done a terrible aveira. That's what Shlomo Melech is saying. Do you hear what's going on over here? When you're doing it good, and mamish, you say, wow, your Yetzer Tov was mamish on fire, and it was great. That's a great day. Your mamish used all the talent the right way. That's nothing more to talk about. But now you really did use all your talents for the bad. You say, what kind of Jew might have no hope? Then finish. It's raw. No, it's not bad. Use it as a way to enlighten yourself as to who you are. And you should know you're a vessel that's ready and primed for greatness, because you already know how to use that power in a certain way. And now, as we'll explain shortly, but now you could do almost exactly the same thing, but just do it for good.
But you already sinned this time.
Fine. Well, you know, there is something called tshuva. Right? But the point being, but you may never realize that this is something that you could have done in the good realm. You know, so whatever. So I'll just give a very oversimplified example. Like, really, it's way too oversimplified, but just to make the point. Okay? A person never really, you know, when it comes to Avodas Hashem, they don't get too excited. They don't get too excited. But then they started doing some Averis, and they ramished. They didn't think they were very passionate people at all. But it came to a certain Averis, he was really passionate. So the guy says, wow. Guess when it comes to Averis, I'm really passionate, not by mitzvahs. No. Now you know that you're a passionate person. You just proved to us that you could be passionate. Now be passionate about good things. You see, you could be passionate about good things too. Okay? You really like to kill people. And you killed somebody that you shouldn't have killed. Yeah, but you said, much you like to kill? Why don't you work for the government and kill the bad people? You know, with the same pen, go work for ICE. You know, go work for ICE. You got to really be passionate to really hurt people, to really be a proper guard. No? You don't want these guards to say, well, I just called, the rest is not my problem. You know, to knock out these terrorists, you need mean, tough guys. So, yeah, so you realize you could be a mean, tough guy, and you went and hurt this innocent guy. Okay, you want to be mean and tough? Good, we seek to not be mean and tough. What should be mean and tough to? You know? You got issues, you know, in sexuality, so go work for the vice squad and put all the criminals away. Okay? So, and in any other way. But the fact that you have shown that you have such a... You have to look at it and say... You have to say, of course you did an Avera. And of course you have to do tshuva on the Avera. But you also should realize it now is illuminated to me that I have so much Yetzer in me that I really never knew I had it. And the Yetzer is in this specific area. Now all I got to do, tshuva does not mean that you have to thwart and throttle yourself. No, just keep that energy. You don't have to put back the push it back at all. Keep up the energy. Just put it in the right way. That's all. You love to talk Lashon Hara. So talk Lashon Hara about Jews for Jesus. Mamish Geschmack. I got to tell everybody what's going on. You know, I just got to do that. This is what I do. Fine. So look at all the Jews for Jesus. Look at all the wicked people that we got to destroy these guys and spread it to everybody. There's a terrible crisis. All our Jewish children are being taken away. We got to stop them. Let everybody know. Collect money for them. Make a big deal about it. You like to publicize things. You want to be in the limelight. Be in the limelight for something good. Now, maybe 2 years before, I can't do that. I'm not that kind of guy. Some say, no, you just proved you are such a guy. Just did it in the wrong way. Now, how about you do it the right way? You follow what's going on over here. Okay. This is a breakthrough when a person's looking about tshuva over here. Because we're doing tshuva, obviously, for the averis we did, right? And therefore, the averis we did with the Yetzer Hara. But remember, the Yetzer Hara is 99% Yetzer. It's only a little bit Ra. I mean, the ability to do the evil that you've done came from a pre-existing Yetzer. Oh, but I really do a lot of Averis. Hashem's really not going to like me. No. He's planning on making you much bigger and better than the other guys who haven't sinned so much. You have so much more good potential that you have a lot to do tshuva for, yes, But you realize how much promise you have of greatness that's still yet to be achieved if all you got to do is just shift it a little bit the other direction. And it's not that far of a shift. Because again, it's not like, no, I can't do this anymore. No, yes, you can. You know, but I was so passionate about, you know, whatever. You know, passionate about this terrible thing. So fine, so just find a passion for someone else that's permitted and it's allowed and it's a mitzvah. Right? So with this, we can explain the next point. Let's move on. Source 16. Right, the famous Rashi, when Adam named all the creatures, which took a tremendous amount of intelligence. And Rashi tells us something. I'm not going to get into every detail of this Rashi. This Rashi is a class in and of itself. But Rashi says, Aval pisha nitna bo deya. Likros lo shemos, even though man was given the intelligence to name animals, which was a high level of intelligence. So how come he and his wife couldn't tell that they didn't have any clothes on? If you're so smart. If you're that smart, couldn't you tell you didn't have any clothes on? So he says, where am I? Lo nitna bo yetzahara. Hashem did not give into him a yetzahara. Ach achlum in eitz. Until he ate from the Yetzadas. V'nichnas bo Yetzahara. And now a Yetzahara entered into him. V'yeda ma bein tov l'ra. And now he has to differentiate between good and evil. So again, it's a long, long discussion. I don't want to get sidetracked. I want to stay on the point we need to get over here. But whatever Rashi is saying, he did not yet have a Yetzahara. He did not have a Yetzahara. Fine, he didn't have a Yetzahara. So if he didn't have a Yetzirah, the question is, so how could he have sinned with the Yetzirah? Famous question. How can he sin with the Yetzirah? I'm not going to give you the full answer over here. I don't have time for it. I just want to get the one point. I want to get out of here. So we know Reb Chaim of Volozhin gives the famous answer. Others also give the famous answer. He says, before Adam sinned, he had a Yetzirah. But that Yetzirah was outside of himself. That Yetzer, in other words, he knew clearly what was good. He knew clearly what was bad. Inside, his drive was to do good. That's all he had. He had a drive inside to do good. Inside, only the right and left ventricle were only filled with wanting to do good. He only wanted to do good. The Yetzer Hara, at this point, was not a Yetzer per se. Wasn't a drive that he had, so to speak, inside of himself. It was an outside force that was not part of him that was suggesting things he should not have done. Okay? And the snake only could affect him by seducing him from the outside. Now, I know you're going to ask, so then how did he succeed? I'm not going to get into that now. I just don't have the time. It's a whole other class. It's a good question, and we've discussed it in the past, but it's not now. But the point we want to know now, but what happened after the sin? That's the point that's important. After the sin, what does it say? The Yetzirah entered him. What does it mean it entered him? It means now the Yetzirah now works from the inside. The Yetzirah now became able to take those drives that are inside and now shift them in the way that will not be for our benefit. And that becomes an innate drive. So now it feels very normal for you to take that drive to do something wrong versus to take that drive and to do something right. Right or wrong. So as opposed to before the sin, the Yetzirah was, we'll say, outside of the person. And the person inside had no desire to do anything bad. You know, like an example. Let's say you have a good kid. Then you get a call from the principal that your kid was caught cheating on a test together with other kids, and he's being suspended from school. You say, I don't understand this. My kid never did such a thing. You find out that, you know, one of the ringleaders of the class, you know, decided, hatched the plan, and your kid's such a good kid. He doesn't, you know, doesn't make trouble, and everyone's doing it. So he got influenced. He would never have thought to do such a thing, but he got influenced by others. And even when he did it, he really didn't want to do it. He didn't have a desire to do it, but he just didn't want to be different than everybody else. People make fun of him, and he doesn't want to be made fun of, so he helped cheat on the test too. Now, would we say that your little boy, he really had a drive to cheat on the test? No, he just did what everybody else did. But then he got the kid who hatched the plan. That he really wanted to. He has a drive to do those things. So Adam Rishon beforehand, you know, or let's say you have a spouse who nudges you to death, so you finally give in, just so he'll stop nudging you. but you didn't really want to do it. Same idea. So the Nochash before was outside of man. Okay, man was very smart. He could name the animals, all that, all these things. Yeah, and he didn't realize he was unclothed because there's nothing wrong with being unclothed. Something wrong with being unclothed. The body is just a kli for the neshama. So what's wrong? But once he sinned with the Eitz Hadas, now the Eitz Hara got to be right inside the left ventricle and now can be part of and channeling those very drives and now has a whole different way of looking at an unclothed body. And therefore it says, that's why he says, Rashi says, lo nosan bo. It wasn't put in him, it was mamish put in him. So now we got the human being post-sin with the right and left ventricle, with opposing ways of pulling at that drive. So again, it comes out that Adam HaRishon, which again needs more explanation, when he did sin, it was not a sin out of drive. It wasn't a sin out of, oh, I really got to do this. I'm lusting for this fruit and I have to have this. It was a big, much more of a judgment call. It was a different type of a sin. Not the kind of sins we have to deal with. We have to deal with passions and drives and for the wrong things. That became a new thing for Adam to handle that he wasn't wired properly for. And immediately he realized he's unclothed because the Yetzer inside of him is giving all kinds of wrong connotations to what an unclothed body is all about. Okay, fine. That's all you need to know about this. I'm just showing you where this origin of this Yetzer that we now have is. You with me? Now, let's take it a step further. We still got to explain why we cut the snake's feet off. So let's go to source 17. So you got to know how great Adam HaRishon was. B'sha Shabara Kodesh Baruch Adam HaRishon, when Adam HaRishon was created by Hashem, the Malachim, they all made a mistake. And they thought he was God. They want to say he's a holy being. Clearly, Adam had a was a big man. With big drives. Huge drives. And inside, only drive to do good. Unbelievable. But we still have that rule. Still have that rule on some level. Zel umazeh. This opposed to this, Hashem created. So if Adam, this is where it's hard for us to understand this. Adam was like a huge, bigger tzaddik than we can ever imagine. Bigger than any Godel Hador. It's like unbelievable. But if Hashem is giving him a bechira, a choice, then what must exist? An opposite force that's just as strong. Even if it's coming from the outside. That's why the Torah, now why did the Torah have to preamble the whole story on source 18? The snake was more cunning than any other animal. Why does it have to tell us that? Just say the snake came. Or it was cunning. Why more cunning than anything else? Because if man was so great, he had to have an opponent that would be just as great. That was the whole point. Adam was huge, a spiritual giant. So the Nachash, even to seduce from the outside, that's why we can't understand this, because we don't have this anymore. He had to be also very, very big. Good? So now, let's think about it. Now Adam sins. Gemara gives all, I don't have enough space, Gemara gives all kinds of expressions, like said, oh, Adam was his, not to be taken literally, he was as tall till the heavens. He was as wide across the globe. After he sinned, Hashem made him small. Okay. Which means he didn't have the same ambitions, the same drives that the original Adam had. Oh, wait a minute. That was, you know, now that you let the Yetzer Hara in, as it were, by you eating from the Eitz Hadas, you've made yourself very, very small. So now Hashem says, wait a minute. I can't allow this snake to be as powerful as he is because he's going to totally destroy man. Because by the virtue, the consequence of a man's sin is he's been made small. So therefore what? Hashem had to cut the legs of the snake to cut down his Yetzer, to his force. And even though it's an inside force, not as great as it was before. obviously was a much bigger force, able to make the holiest man in the world sin, was an unbelievable force. So therefore he had to even up the playing field again. Well, that rule always comes into play. Okay? So now we can look at that contradiction that we said before. Hashem said to the Jewish people, listen, I've created the Yetzer Hara, I've given you a Torah Tavlin, that you can do it, you can do it on your own. Yeah, that was, let's look at the words carefully, B'ni Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin. Hashem says, I've created a Yetzer Hara. When I created the world, I created a Yetzer Hara, when he was outside of you. And I created a Torah Tavlin. I created a Torah that was an Adam. If you would have engaged in it properly, you could have done it. You could have done it on your own. But you failed on your own. You failed on your own. After now the sin, and now the Yetzer Hara is mamish inside of you, and the Yetzer Hara is coming from an all different direction and is well inside of you, well, you know, your insides are not enough to deal with that Yetzer Hara. So guess what? I'm going to do you a kindness. I'm going to help you out a little bit. And now it's going to be, you're going to need my help. And that's what it says, Yitzro shel Adam. The Yetzer of a person, Dafka, the inner Yetzer that he has inside, wants to destroy the person. Hashem is going to have to help the person out. And one of the things Hashem does to help the person out right away is, he cut the legs of the Yetzer Hara out. So we see that a person has to realize, and so hear what's going on over here. Whenever you fail, Hashem always is there. In one way or another. In one way or another. He's either there to show you that, you know, you failed. You had a big Yetzer on this air, but you realize what kind of Yetzer you have? You realize where you could use this in good things? And if Hashem is there, we'll see in a minute more, how Hashem's, even after you failed, Hashem is still there to help you. He's always there to help you. Even though the Yetzer is so strong, the passions could be so strong, those passions want to destroy you, and you're feeling those passions trying to destroy you. But Hashem can still help you out. I still haven't explained that. We have to explain that in a minute, but it still can happen. So now let's go back. So now what are these two goats? We got the Sir LaZazel and the Sir LaShem. Okay, what do they represent? What do they represent? The Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Tov, Yetzer Hara. Because, right, the Sir LaZazel, that's the one who's, we did all our veras. We have to get kapara from that one. We have to confess and all these things. We did so many averos. That's all Yetzer Hara. The other Sar, we don't have to do anything. We just take it and we just shecht it. Just shecht it. So what's going on over here? So that's why the halacha is, they have to be identical in every way possible. Because their source is exactly identical. It's your neutral Yetzer that exists. And let's just take a look what the Shvilei Pinchas says in Source 20. He says, Lachain, and this is now, you come again, Yom Kippur. You're looking for kapara. You know you did a lot of terrible averus. He's saying, I'm finished. I mean, I'm really bad. There's no way, even if I'm sorry in this, there's no way I can stop doing these averos. Or even if I do, you know, it's just, I'm never going to amount to much. So remember it said, the Gemara says, there were never happier days for the Jewish people than Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. So the push-up shot on Yom Kippur is, Hashem forgives you. That's a good thing. But now it's a little bit better. He says, L'chein, 20, Al Yipolei Va'adam, person's heart should not fall. Kisharoa Kama Koshe Melchama, when he sees how difficult the battle is, that he has to conduct against the force of evil that's inside of him. Don't lose hope, even though you see how hard it is. Because look, we just confessed a million averos. But it's well known. If you have such a strong force to go to the evil, here's, I bolded it. There's no greater proof than that. This as opposed to this. Koach otzum ma'od ha'kedusha. You know what kind of par you have to do kedusha? So on Yom Kippur, as you're confessing all your sins, the goats are exactly the same. Since they're the same, you got to realize, as bad as that was, there's the other goat that goes to the Kodesh Kodesh. It's the same power that got me thrown off the cliff can get me to go right into the Kodesh Kodesh. And then Reb Moshe Leva Sasever has such a beautiful notrikin. Now you're going to have to go back to which source? Go back to 15. At the end of it, where I took those words, Zeh Le'umas Zeh Asah Halokim. You see those words there? You see there? And I bolded the Lamed, the Zion, the Ayin, the Aleph. Yeah, you see that? Right? If you just scramble it up, it spells Azazel. The Sir La'Azazel is the notrikin for Zeh Le'umas Zeh Asah Halokim. That's when you're throwing off your averos, when you're doing tshuva. This is the thing. You're coming on Yom Kippur and you see this whole list of al chetz. Now, you know, most people would be depressed. You said, "Yep, I did that one. Yep, I did that one." You know, various statements. We say, in the tefillah zaka before Yom Kippur, we say, "I've checked every part of my body and every part's been terrible." So you're going to be very depressed. I'm thoroughly wicked. Yep. She should know. It's just as easy to be thoroughly good. All that. Where'd you become so thoroughly wicked from? With all that power, man. I got so much power. Yeah, you got so much power. But I want you to know that power can just shift it to the right direction. You'd be the best person possible. So it's like, and they play it out. You see, the Jews were watching this. They watched. They said, "Well, look at all the averus. It's going on the Sir Lazozo. It's getting thrown off the cliff. You know, look what, yeah. But there's an identical goat right next to it. The same force, same power, same drive, same wantings. It's mamish. Everything is the same. But I don't have time. There's a whole other class to show. But there's just one little, you know, instead of, you know, do, you would, you know, it was, no, do not. You know, like one extra word changes everything, right? And sometimes it's really just a little shift. A little wrong hashkafa that you had. A little wrong whatever. Wrong moment, wrong this. But really, you are the Kodesh Kodesh. What do you mean, Kazuma? I got thrown off the cliff. It's all the same power. It takes exactly the same effort, the same koiches, it's all the same, it's the same person. But what is it? Just shift it. That's all it is, just shift. That's all, you know, you got a boat going, you know. It doesn't take much to turn the boat in the wrong direction. You don't have to make a really big turn. Even if you're just a little 2 degrees off. But over time, it'll end up the other direction. So how do you get turned back? Just go 2 degrees the other way. You don't have to turn the whole ship. I mean, if that's, you want to do tshuva to miss it, no, just shift the direction. You don't have to be somebody else. You just have to be yourself. Just don't be fooled this time. And realize, you know, everybody said you get satisfaction from this. No, that's ridiculous. But you can get satisfaction out of other things. And it's not to be a totally different person. You can be exactly, but now it takes a little thinking. Okay, you have to ask yourself, okay, how do I take these power that I've been using in the wrong way to do it in the right way? Okay, so then you gotta know. You know, there's people who like to be critical. Right? Really big critics. Okay, so just be critical of yourself. Spend the same time. Instead of being critical of your spouse, be critical of yourself. You see you're so good at it. You know, you want that to be better? Why don't you be a little selfish? You know, be good for yourself. That's all. You'll see you'll be a better person for that. Use every, be just as critical. You notice every time your husband came 2 minutes late, so now do the same thing for yourself now. Because you could do that. You know you could do it. You do it really well. Do it yourself. That's all. You can't spell out. Everyone knows, you know, what tshuva they need to do. But this is very encouraging. And Yom Kippur, you need to be encouraged. Now, obviously, if you're... Okay, so let's... Now, we've got to take it... Now, this will be enough to end the class right here. you already get the price of admission. But let's take it a little bit further. Now let's discuss a Ramah. Not the typical Ramah in the Shulchan Aruch. Ramah has other Svarim. So now you understand what's going on over here. We're taking the blood of the goat, and now we're taking it to the Kachi Kadosh. We're saying, you know, you don't have to go off the cliff. You can go right into the Kachi Kadosh. But now, we have to give you a little bit of instruction of how to do this. A little bit. Let's be a little bit more specific. We're just going to take this to the next step. Okay, so what's the instruction? Well, you know, that little sprinkling, once up, once down, one and one, one and two. What's this one and one, one and two business over here? So Ramah says, beautiful over here. He says, 21. Kfar noda hazos Yom Kippur. We know about the sprinklers on Yom Kippur. Shu achas l'mala v'shev l'mata. One above and seven below. V'hatam. And the reason is, Sherom zim al inyan yetzahara. It's hinting to the yetzahara. Hamachti ha'adam. That caused the person to sin. V'unikra b'shiva shemos. And we know the yetzahara has seven names. If you want to know the names, source 22. I don't have time to get into it now. Seven names, the yetzahara. We'll explain a little better what it means, those names, but it's seven names. V'lchein ha'yazorek sheva hazos lamata. He would sprinkle seven down, because Yetzer takes you down. V'achas milmala. One above. Shuneged Yetzer Tov. That's opposite the Yetzer Tov. V'yamona eskol hazos shalamata es hazos shalamala. And every time he counted one below, he counted one above. As it says in Yoma, Vekacha Yamoina, Achas, Achas Va'achas, one and one. Which means, Lahiris to teach Kibina Roy, because it's fitting, Lishatef Yetzahara im Yetzer HaTov, is to partner the Yetzahara with the Yetzer Tov, for us. And when you do that, Shnehem Ke'echatovim, then both of them together are good. And that's what the Navi Yecheskel says. V'hoya zorek. And then he would sprinkle it. It says, Zerakti aleichem mayim tahor. Remember, sprinkle upon you the pure waters. So, what's he saying over here? He's saying that we got a very powerful force called the Yetzer Tov. We got a very powerful force called the Yetzer Tov. It's amazing. But we got a Yetzer Hara. And in the fact that we've done sins, remember, we're looking for kapara now. I know you're going to ask, why didn't you sprinkle seven times up? I'm going to tell you in a minute why. You say, well, seven down, seven up. But the fact of the matter is, why are there seven names to him? Well, let's keep going on. Source 24, we know there's seven spheros. Chesed Gvur Tiferes Netzachot Yesod HaMalchus. Now, those seven, that's your... Yetzer. The Yetzer goes in seven directions. That's the Sphiros. The Yetzer of Chesed. Yetzer of Gvura. I'm not going to go over all these again. We've spoken them so many times. Right? That's a Yetzer. That's your Neshama. It's pure Yetzer. Chesed! Wow! Chesed! You know, like Rebbetzin Machlis, Zichrona Levracha. That's what she had. Okay, maybe we have a little less. Okay? That's all for the good. Seven for the good. What happened? What does the HR do? He says, yeah, chesed. But chesed in the wrong way. Chesed for me. Chesed for things that I shouldn't be doing chesed for. Chesed for the terrorists. Chesed, you know, the Gemara says, if a person sleeps with his sister, Torah calls it a chesed. You know, everything for me. Incestuous relations, for me. It's easier, this, whatever. Be a pig, it's chesed. It's the wrong direction. Chesed is supposed to be outwardly triggered. Chesed, expansiveness. I make myself bigger to affect others in a positive way. It's not so hard. I want, like, all those kaychas, and it's for me. For me, for me, for me, for me. That's all. Kvura, control, yes. Self-control, self-control. No, I want to control others. It's the same power. The same power. So therefore, when we're talking about who you really are, and we're looking for kapara, we're still looking for kapara. We threw that goat off the cliff. We don't want to know nothing about that goat. We don't want to be like that anymore. But okay, we want to do tshuva, we want to do kapara now. Okay. So what do we got to say? We got to say, listen, if the Yetzer got a hold of me, what it did was he took what was supposed to be achas lamala. What was supposed to be lamala, he went and took a lamata. Okay? So therefore, the sprinkling of the blood atones for the root of all the sins. And what is the root of all the sins? Look at source 25. The Zohar tells us. Due to this, Avram cringed. Oh man, I've got so many typos. Clinged to Amuna. He told us in a rush at the end. Avram clinged to Amuna when he descended to Egypt and when he went to the land of the Plishtim. It's a parable to a man who wanted to descend into a deep pit and he was afraid that he would not be able to get out. What did he do? He tied one knot above the pit and said, once I've tied this knot, I can now descend. He tied one knot around himself, you know, a rope, and one outside the pit. So if I'm stuck, I just pull myself out. So to Avram, at the time that he decided to descend to Egypt, before doing so, he tied a knot of Amuna first to fasten himself. And only after did he descend. And so was the case when he entered the land of the Plishtim. Okay? You know, and that's really in next week's Parsha, in Hazino, it says, Kichelek Hashem Amo, Yaakov Chevel Nachalaso. Yaakov, so to speak, is the rope of his Nachala. What's the rope doing over here? So the idea being, you know, yes, we go down into this world. Avram had to go down to Egypt. Avram's a tzaddik. He's got big Yetzers. Woo-hoo-hoo. You see what kind of chesed he was saying? Big. Avram knows, I got big Yetzers. I go down to Egypt, they're going to take those Yetzers and put it where it doesn't belong. So what does he do? I need to make sure I got a rope. I'm mamish connected to Hashem in the biggest way possible. If I'm mamish focused on Hashem, I'm focused on the ruts in Hashem, I believe in Hashem, Hashem takes care of my parnasa, Hashem takes care of this, all the things we talk about in Emunah and Hashem. Now, if you have that rope, if you have the achas lamala, then even if you have to go lamata, into the worst places in the world, you can take your shiva lamata, and it's not going to get destroyed. That's what we're understanding. Why did I sin? Because when I went into this physical world, I kind of lost track of who it was all about. This is the main question that, you know, nobody asked yet, but the obvious question, how do you make sure it goes in one direction, not the other direction? That's what you need, achas lamala. You have to connect that rope to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You got to cling to Hashem. If you cling to Hashem and you love Hashem, you believe in Hashem and all the things we talk about what we should have, that becomes a new factor, a new variable that will decide where our passions are directed towards. Loving Hashem, clinging to Hashem, all these things. And they got to be real. So the root of all our averas is lack of being tied up to the one above. We fall into the trap of going downwards. Right? And the Kohen Gadol, who's able to do it correctly, can inspire us the other way. So then instead we say, achas, achas ve'achas. The achas, the one above, has to be connected to an achas of one of my spheros. If I'm connected to the achas above, then any achas or shtayim or shalosh, any one of the seven spheros, I'll stay connected to Hashem and I won't let any one of the seven yetzaharas get a hold of me. And that's the secret for kapara. Right? That's why we've said many times, the word teva is nature, from the word tovea, means to drown. Okay, so now what are we doing? What are we doing on Yom Kippur? What are we doing on Yom Kippur? What are we doing? We're getting out of the physical world. We're getting out of the physical. There's nothing with the physical world. And on Yom Kippur, we're spending one day, achas lamala, to be totally connected to Hashem. If you're really doing your Yom Kippur right, you really feel happy with Hashem. You'll probably love Hashem on Yom Kippur more than any other day of the year. You really are strengthening that rope between you and Hashem. That's what Yom Kippur does. And then we say, okay, now that I'm connected to Hashem, let me go back to all the things I did wrong last year. And now I'm going to do it the right way. Now, I don't have time, but this is a whole thing. Then we get to Sukkos. right? Sukkot, you go back into the world, and you have the seven Ushpizim, Avin through David, who represent the seven Sphiros, and I'm going to do the seven Sphiros properly in down in this world, Sheva Lamata, but as long as I'm kept connected, Achad Lamala, then everything's going to be fine. And that's what Yom Kippur is meant to do for us, is to be the Achas Lamala. Okay, so where does Shabbat Shuvah come into all this? Same idea. That's what the Zohar tells us about, and those of you who are Sfard, that you say after Kabbalah Shabbos, say, Raza de Shabbos, Yish Shabbos, Yish Chadata, Baraza de Echad, last source. The secret of Shabbos is Shabbos that unifies with the secret of one. Sunday is the day of Chesed. Right? Every day of the week, seven Sphiros. Chesed. Sunday was a day of kindness. Yeah, it's your first day back into the world. Do kindness. So what do? We're kind to ourselves. We sleep in. Don't go to work. We take the kindness. We do all kinds of kind things we shouldn't be doing. Yeah, you understand. You understand, okay? You look at every day, you know. So we got 7 days. We got seven Lamata. And the truth is, Shabbos itself, which is Malchus, can also be corrupted. Every one of the seven, even Malchus, to be a melech, to rule over every part of yourself. Instead, you want to rule over everybody else but yourself. You could take the shot, you could, every day of the week, you could destroy it. If you let that, you have a lot of energy, you have a special energy for Sunday, a special energy for Monday. Every day is a special energy. That's that drive. The Sunday drive, the Monday drive, every day has a different drive. All right? So if you're not, so how did you mess yourself up? You weren't connected to Hashem. So now we take the two goats and say, listen, just because you sin, all that tells you have a lot of drive. You're a bigger sinner, you have more drive. Yashar koyach. Okay, so you messed up every day. So what am I going to do? Let's take the blood of the good goat. And let's go in there and let's really look at it. But nobody looked at it. You know, he couldn't go in there, but we knew what was going on. But he's doing it on behalf of all of us. So you have to remember, it's always a biachas lamala. If you could just remember that it's all for Hashem, how much you care, how you love Hashem, you're amun Hashem, that's your rope, and everything's focused on Hashem, then you can go lamata. You go lamata into this world, and it's still going to be with the drive, but it's just shifted. What does Hashem want me to do? And all of a sudden, the same drive you have, you can do for all those things. So that's the real beauty of a real Shabbos. You need Shabbos to protect you from Shabbos. You know, when do the most Averis happen in the week? It's on Shabbos. The most Averis happen on Shabbos. No. What do I mean? If you're not learned, how much Chil Shabbos do you do? Chavetz Chaim says that. How can you not be Mechal Shabbos? If Chavetz Chaim says, if you don't really learn the halachas, how many Jews really know all the halachas? Chil Shabbos, right? How many Jews don't talk about business on Shabbos? How many Jews don't talk about other things? And in all the shuls, during the week, people aren't in shul. Or if they're in shul, they got to go to work. They're so busy, they're so tired. But all of a sudden, on Shabbos, everybody could talk in shul on Shabbos. Right? The Malchus is going nuts. Yeah. You overeat like a pig on Shabbos. You don't overeat like a pig the other 6 days of the week. It's the covered Shabbos. It's not the covered Shabbos. You sleep the whole Shabbos. I'm not talking to you. I'm saying, but you understand what I'm saying. It's the day that can be the most abused of all the days. And it often is for many people. And what when do you have the most time to speak Lashon Hara if not at the Shabbos table? Right? So Shabbos needs also Achas Lamala. So that's Shabbat Shuvah. That's Shabbat Shuvah before Yom Kippur. At least in Aseres you made Shuvah. Can it be once Achas Lamala? That what? That I'm only thinking about Hashem. See, if you have a Shabbos for 25 hours, that's what Hashem gave you the Shabbos for. Hashem gave us a Shabbos for the Achas Lamala. And if you would spend 25 hours, Mom is just thinking about Hashem. And all the brachas that he gave you. That's not to the exclusion of being with your family. But to look at your family through the bracha of being with Hashem. To to be engaged with your children as a method of having more Hakar Satov for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, you can do two things at one time. You do it all the time. You know, you got someone on a speakerphone and you're typing an email to someone, right? You do this all the time. That's right. You don't want people to, you don't like to use, FaceTime, because then they can see what you're doing. But you can hear, you know what's going on, if they're paying attention to you or not. They say, what did you just say? Right? So, that's, why did I say that? I just lost my train of thought. We can multitask. So you can multitask on Shabbos. You're talking to your kid. You're listening to him. You're listening to his problems and this and that. And you're saying, Hashem, you know, I hope I'm doing a good job as being a parent. And I'm giving you the right hadracha. And I'm spending him the time because I love you and I love his children. And the reason I'm doing a bull session with my kid for half an hour, let him express his feelings. Because, you know, he could go off the derech if I don't give him this time. I'd rather be learning Torah now. But I know it's so important. It's such a chesed I'm doing with my child. Because these moments of me empathizing with him will keep him on the derech. And the only reason I want to keep him on the derech is so you'll have a good servant. It's not for my honor. You know, I'm eating, yeah, nicer food, but I'm not going to be a pig. You know, one piece of dessert is enough. That's all. I don't have to have that much. And then davening is going to be a davening way. It should be a davening. I don't have to rush out to work. So if you want, you know, it's the Shabbos before Yom Kippur is going to make the Yom Kippur what the Yom Kippur is going to be. If Shabbos Shuvah is a sleepy day, the Yom Kippur will have all other things to keep you busy with. So that's the beauty of Shabbos Shuvah, where you can mamash do the Achas Lamala, but you got to really get the Achas Lamala, and to feel energized. If it's mamash Lamala, I could do everything I've been doing my whole life, and just a little shift, and then you'll be able to go to the Kachik Anosh. Hashem should help us that in the schus of, and that's why you really, even if you can't make it to shul for all that time, that's why I always say the most important parts of Yom Kippur are the least observed. The avoda during the musaf was the most important part of the whole Yom Kippur, right? More than an Asana Toikev. I'm not nothing against Asana Toikev. It's a beautiful prayer. It's supposed to inspire us to stay till the end of Davin. But when it ends at 2:30, 3:30, I mean, who's there? You know, the hale and hearty souls. But that's when the real meat and potatoes is going on over there. And everybody's what? I have to take a nap. Hashem should bless our souls. I don't know, how can anybody take a nap on Yom Kippur? Is beyond me. It's just beyond me. When every minute you can get kapara of what you put into, you put out. I don't understand. You know, in any shul, no matter, they don't end so late at night. How late do they end already? 10 o'clock? 10:30? Right? And it's nothing to do when you get home. Just go to sleep. You can get 8 hours of sleep. I know you get 8 hours of sleep. You need to take a nap the next day. You're not eating. You don't have all those carbs weighing you down. You just think about the davening. You know, I'm never tired of Yom Kippur. I never feel tired. For maybe a couple minutes. You know, they just go into the next niggin. And you just move. But you know what? It depends what kind of Shabbos you have before Yom Kippur. If you slept the whole Shabbos for Yom Kippur, you're going to take a nap on Shabbos. On Yom Kippur too. And if you have a proper Shabbos Shuvah, Shabbos needs Shabbos. Shabbos needs Shabbos. Achas Lamala. Hashem should help us that this should be an Achas Lamala, and then all the seven, the Matzah, become the way they're meant to be, and we will have a very blessed year to come. Amen.